Today, if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16, and we'll begin with verse 16. Today, this message will be coming from verses 16 through 26. We're going to move around a little bit there in this text, but today, the title of this sermon is, It's Worth the While. It's Worth the While. And I want you to just keep that in your mind just for a moment. And as we go through the Word of God this morning, I trust that it will speak to your heart, that everything else is zoned out, but you've come into the house of the Lord, and we're getting ready to preach the Word of God, and you're ready to listen to the Word of God, and you're ready to apply the Word of God to your life. And let God deal with us today, each and every one, as He so moves. And give Him the liberty today in our heart to have thine own way. But look with me in verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitudes rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust him into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. And everyone's bands were loose. Will you pray with me? Father, I come before you this morning, Lord, as one in which you have called to preach your word. Lord, I ask you today, with all of thy power and all of thy might, O God, that this day would be a day that would be changed for thy glory. Lord, I understand and know today not all things that you are and the things that you do and why. But I do know in my heart that you love all of mankind and that you sent your Son for our call. And Father, I ask you today, Lord, while we still live in this time, in this era, before the rapture, Lord, as these days progress and they seem to progressively get worse, Lord, I know that one of these days it's all going to be worth the while. Father, I pray today that you would open our eyes, that our ears would be hearkened unto your word. And Lord, on this day, these people would see nothing more than yourself. See your power, see your might, feel your presence. And Lord, that you send your Holy Spirit, O God, to convict and compel each and every heart. Lord, this day we can shout the victory because we are more than conquerors in Jesus. But Lord, today, to know that there's still a job that must be done. And for us to know today the value of that job, knowing that it's worth the while no matter what. Father, I ask now, Lord, that you anoint my lips, fill me with thy spirit. And Lord, I pray today, Lord, that your word be felt. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to share with you today in this sermon three characteristics of Christian living that we find in this text. But at the end of this sermon, I'm going to bring one result from living a Christian life that is very vital and very important that we hold on and cling to today. But before we get there, I want to fill you in on what's happening. Let's build the setting. We see where Paul and Silas, and the two that are mentioned here specifically, are in Troy. They're at Troas. And God calls Paul to leave Troas, to go to Macedonia. And there's a colony there, a Roman colony, that we know as Philippi, which is a very chief area in this area of Macedonia. But God, it calls them to leave where they are presently and move on to areas that they may not be comfortable in, areas that they may not know anyone. But the important thing is that God called them to leave their setting and move to another. Well, they begin to make the move, but first they have to endeavor in the thought of moving. We have to give it thought. We have to make plans. We don't just twinkle our eyes or our nose and all of a sudden we're in Macedonia. They made plans, provisions to move with God as their guide. And they get ready to move, but they make the move, commending them for listening to an Almighty God and moving their area and moving forward, pressing toward His calling. And there they move from Troas to Macedonia, there where Jews do not like Romans at all because of the taxes and different things. But they're not a best of friends, if you know what I mean. So he moves there only led of God. Well, there after certain days, the Bible says, that they come up and they're looking for on the Sabbath day a place of prayer. So they go outside of the city there, Philippi, there by the riverbank, and they begin to pray. Well, there in their time of prayer, they meet a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira. And she is one who makes and sells purple linen. Well, she is a believer already before her encounter with Paul and Silas. She believes in God. She serves God. And we commend that on this day, that you can serve God all along. You don't have to have somebody with you to worship, to pray, and to seek Him diligently. We can do it on our own. And there, on that day, they met her. And she, her heart was open, the Bible says, so that she would receive Paul and Silas into her house and make their stay comfortable, giving provision to the men of God. But along the way, this damsel, as we read in verse 16, comes. And in our terms, what she is a young lady who is a fortune teller. And if you were ever wondering, was fortune telling an act of God or biblical, this will answer your question. Because not only does Paul get grieved with her saying, these are the men of God, of the Most High God, and they are here to offer salvation to the lost. Let's make an observation for a moment. Her fortune telling was true, but that doesn't mean it was right for her to do it. There are some things that feel good and seem to add up in this life, but it does not make them right. Just because it feels good to you doesn't mean that God said it was His will. But Paul cast out that spirit that was within her, giving her the ability to fortune tell. Which tells me that Paul would not cast out the same spirit that was within him. That's why he was there, to share with them the spirit that dwelt within him. But along the way, what happens now that this woman does not have this fortune-telling ability,
Her masters are angry because it was a wonderful way for them to make money and have profits because of her fortune-telling ability. So they take Paul and Silas there to the marketplace, which is the place that they had trials and were judged by the rulers. So here they are taken in. And that brings us to our very first Christian characteristic that I want you to record today in your heart. And it is to be consistent. Look with me at verse 20 and 21. And brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." Friend, if I may submit to you today that somehow God manifests under our eyes today, this is the land in which we live in today in America. That our customs that we teach and we preach are unlawful to these people. And because of that, God is cast out. And it's not right. It is not right that God be cast out and condemned and His people be condemned because of what we believe God has done for us. But the world looks at it as being unlawful. So they take Him out of school. They take Him out of the courthouse because He's not legal anymore. Because our beliefs and customs that we believe that some man came and died on a cross for our sins and that He sits in the right hand of the Father and we don't just call Him God, but we call Him by His name. And His name is Jesus. If you'll notice in verse 18, Paul didn't say that I cast this spirit out in the name of God. But he said, I cast this spirit out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Specifically, He is the one and only, the King of Kings. And we ought not be ashamed of that, my brethren. So we have to be consistent. Well, what does it mean to be consistent? We need to define that this morning, obviously. Because consistency means we have regularity. It means we do things. You ever heard that song, Get a Rhythm? When you get the blues, get a rhythm. You need something to change in your life. We need to get a rhythm. And by getting that rhythm, we're consistent. Now, how can we extract that from the Word of God this morning? We know that they were cast into the prison because they were consistent with their customs and beliefs. Because these men said they do exceedingly harm to our city, to our Roman brethren, and to our customs. Which means they served God with regularity. They did not waver. They didn't blend in, if you know what I mean. Because I find myself even sometimes as a preacher of the Word of God feeling I need to blend in to make everything all right. And I'm dead wrong. We are to be set apart and sanctified for the use of God Himself. And it does not matter what man may say or do to you. The only thing that matters is what God says about you. Hold on to that on this day. They're consistent. But why do we have people who are members of this church and took an oath? Your covenant. You said you'd support this church with your attendance, with your time, and with your tithe. But it don't happen. It happened, but not with regularity. Now I want to ask you a question. I'm going to build you up in a little bit. But I want to ask you a question. What if God gave to you in the same manner in which you gave to Him? Woo! Preacher, that's a dagger in the heart. Thank God for His grace.
Yeah, but don't abuse it, friend. Don't take advantage of God. He's not one to be taken advantage of. We need to be consistent in our attendance. I'm talking to the members of this church. Members. You took an oath. If you're just visiting, thank you for being here. We love you. We consider you a part of us. But you haven't taken the step of taking that oath yet. Come on. If you are a member of this church, you took an oath to this body and to God that you would support this church. And it doesn't matter who's filling the pulpit. You said you would support this church no matter what. And if you're not going to support this church, you need to take your name off the member list. Let's call it right is right and wrong is wrong. Let's call it like it is. You don't want me to beat around the bush and be thinking one thing and saying another, do you? Say amen. Woo! Woo! Boy, it's quiet in here. It's hot to it. You get my hanky when I'm done with it. Just as hot as it is on you to hear it, it's just as hot on me to say it. I don't want to have to say it. But people force you into predicaments. They just tie you up and you have no other choice but to come loose. You said you'd pay your tithe. That's all I'm going to say about it. You said you'd give your tithe. You know what I believe? God expects for us to be faithful, but just forget about the money. You're not going to hear me beat on money. It comes up a lot, but I just wish we could do that once a year and that's all. But I'm more concerned about your time that you give to God. Lest you fall into temptation, we need to be watching and praying, being ready and prepared. Jesus said. I'm going to preach a sermon on it. I'm going to give you a sneak preview. But he said that the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. I'm going to try not to brew that back-to-back weeks of the Lord allows. But my dear friend, we got to be consistent. Just because you get mad and get booger-lipped don't mean you can lay out on God. Come on. Hey, God didn't do nothing wrong to you. Man may have did it, but you shouldn't have put your trust in him in the first place. Amen. Hey! Woo! That'll preach. Put it in God. He's faithful and he's a friend that'll never let you down. You can get mad on Sunday afternoon, but you ought to be in church on Sunday evening. Hey! Amen. I'm taking time so we can just digest it. I'm not searching for words. I know where I'm going. I'm just taking my time doing it. But I hope you're hearing me. Please hear me. Now, do I tell you that for my benefit? No, I'll be honest with you. Most of you don't know this, but I work a 40-hour job, a secular job. I'm going to eat whether you come to this church or not. Do you hear me? I don't mind telling you, I give back to this church about as much as I'm giving. I just tell you that so you'll know. I ain't here for the money. I ain't here for the fame or the fortune. I'm here because God called me to be here. And I'll leave when he tells me to leave. Now, you may can hurry that up. But that's okay. But friend, I'll tell you right now, I know what it means to go out working the sun during the week, pull chain falls and cut with torches and under a welding hood. I'm not doing anything. I'm just telling you, they ought to be a better excuse on Sunday morning than you being torn. I know where you're at, brethren. I'm with you every week. Some weeks I've even worked 100 hours a week and come preach two sermons on Sunday. And you suffered because I didn't have as much time to study as I ought to. But I came. You think it was because I was afraid I was going to miss this paycheck here? No. I come because I want to be a consistent Christian for God. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. And I should not have even talked about my consistency. People talk well enough. They'll talk whether you're consistent or not. But be consistent. Be what you are.
and show people that you do kind of love him and that you are serious about this. Well, I'll just be honest with you. My mentality is pretty tough, and it's probably like Paul. Paul moved around from church to church. Now, I know that God had work for him in Macedonia and Troas, but he'd probably about wore his welcome out because he called it like it was. A man don't work, a man don't eat. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't actively work as a member in this church, get out. I love you to death, and I believe God will. But listen, don't make me have to come talk to you about what your responsibilities are. Hey, election's coming up, isn't it? Boy, we get geared up, fired up come election time. Boy, we make a new commitment just like January 1st. September starts our new fiscal year and come October. We're right back. Now we got to deal with you for 11 months. Let me get up here where you can see.
How you doing?
Hey, be consistent in what you do. Let's move on, lest I stay there the remaining time. Look at verses 22 and 24. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, making them naked, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Not only did they beat them with stripes, not only did they hurt them physically, but I'll tell you, dear friend, to be stripped of your clothing in the midst of a crowd will take away all the pride and dignity you've got. Embarrass you, beat you, and throw you in a prison when you do not deserve to be there. Brings us to our second point, our second characteristic. Resistance. As Christians, we not only need to be consistent, but we need to know how to be resistant. That when the world gives us all they got to offer, and when it seems like all is done and all is dark, I will not compromise what Jesus has done in my heart. I will not go quietly in the night, but I will stand and fight. It's okay to resist the evil, to flee from the wickedness and from the temptation. And I'll let you know today, being tempted doesn't mean you're a sinner, because if it does, it means Jesus was. He was tempted 40 days and 40 nights by Satan, but he never gave in. The devil can tempt you, but he don't make you do it. You do it. He can only tempt you. Resist. I'll tell you, dear friend, what would have been running through my mind. I've had some whippings, but nothing like that. But I'm going to tell you right now, there'd be times, and I know I talk about this a lot, and I'm beating a dead horse, so I'm going to just make sure he's dead. I'm going to tell you right now, I would negotiate with my mama. Mama, I'll tell you what. If you don't do this today. Mama, if you won't do this today, I'll promise you I'll never do this again. Son? Yeah, Mom. When I get done with you, I know you won't. Woo! Hey! Mama! I do this because I love you. It's going to hurt me first and it's going to hurt you. It's a lie! I could feel something wasn't right with our spirits. You know. We negotiate. But I'll tell you, dear friend, Paul and Silas didn't even open their mouths. If they did, the Bible didn't record it, didn't feel it necessary to do it. They said, if this is what it takes to be loyal and be consistent, I'll be resistant and I'll take all you've got to offer. Because I'll tell you today, God didn't put my soul in my elbow. He didn't put my soul in my kneecap. He didn't put my soul on my back where you could put plenty of stripes. But He put it within my body, which means that you can take away all you want, but you can never take away my Jesus that lives within my soul. And you can take my life, but all you did was set me free
Peter.
And you've got to know that, you've got to believe that, and you've got to live that, lest you fall into temptation. Resist. Be resistant to the evil. Third point, third characteristic of Christian living. Persistence. Look at verse 25. And at the midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Wait a minute. They've just been beat. They're naked. They've thrown into prison. They got cuffs on their ankles. I've seen people lay out of church on Sunday just because they worked 40 hours. I've seen some people lay out of church on morning just to get back here. But then I've seen some people come wheeling in here in a wheelchair. And I've seen some elderly people come in here and say, every ounce of my being hurts and I ache. Brother, you'll never understand what's wrong with me today, but I'll tell you I'm here because I love Jesus and I'm going to serve Him till the end. Amen? That's what it's about. You bring value to the name of God and you bring value to other people. You inspire. You lift people up and you give them every ounce of your being and don't give in to yourself. Deny yourself and walk and talk with Jesus and He'll show you how to live. Now, we're persistent in verse 25. They go to praying and singing. Now, I'll be honest with you. I can see the praying going on. If somebody makes me naked and beats me and throws me in a jail and cuffs me down, I'm going to go to pray. The Lord only knows we pray when we get in danger. But after that, we just kind of cease. But I'm going to go to praying. But singing hymns, I can't hardly see that. But you want to know why Paul and Silas went to singing hymns? It's because they never forgot what happened to them on that day when someone resurrected their soul from the dead. And they'll sing praises about His name. No matter what you do to me, I will continue to be persistent. Be bold in your Christian living. Don't give in to the people. We're in the mess we're in today because Christians say, well, it just must be the Lord's will. Just because it happens don't mean it was the Lord's will. It could have been very well your will. Friend, my dear friend, we've got to make a stand. See, what Satan has done is he's deceived us and he's very slick and smooth. And he'll bring stuff on you very slow and gradually, maybe even from 10, 15, 20 years ago. And he just blends it over so slowly you can't even see it or think. But friend, I'll tell you right now, last Sunday night, we stood up as a crowd and we said, we'll pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all our strength, all that I am. Did that do something in your spirit when you stood up and felt that? Hey, it don't get no better than that for me. I'm going to tell you, listen, I love it. When people, different people and different opinions and different personalities can stand in one accord for one cause, I love. We stood together. And I don't care who would have come in the door or what they would have said, nobody could have divided. Hold on to that. Never let it go. Be persistent, be bold, and know what you've got. Now, I want to wrap all this up. And I've let you out a little early the last few times, and I've been building for this service, so hold on. I don't want to leave you hanging. How can you be consistent? Let's go back over to characteristics. Ready? I'm here to help you, not to hurt you. I'm not here to judge you, but I am a fruit inspector. You know the tree by the fruit it bears, amen? How can we be consistent? That's what I want. I don't want to talk about inconsistency in this church. We'll never be a first-class church until we get serious about God and His work. Never. Until you understand He's not just another article in your trophy case, but He's everything you are, it's then that you'll be consistent. You are consistent about the things you care about. Do you pick your kid up from school every day?
You do it because it's important. But friend, we'll preach it to the end of time. But there is no substitute for this. We can blend it. We can sort it. We can try to talk to ourselves in our sleep till we justify it. There is no substitute for the living Word of God. Nor bringing ourselves together in the center. Not forsaking. Friend, I'll tell you right now, how can you be consistent? You've got to leave Troas and go to Macedonia. We can never be consistent until we are exactly where God wants us to be. And there's some of us who are inconsistent because we are not in the right place. It's when you leave this area in your life and move to this one, you're in the right place and you feel it in your soul. Consistency comes. Also, Paul could have done even worse to that woman, but he didn't, did he? He helped her. Which means to be consistent, you can't always do what you want to do, but you've got to do exactly what the Lord asks you to do. You've got to be in the right place and you've got to be the person He's called you to be. And until you are in that predicament, you will never be consistent in your Christian living. Never. You'll try. You'll go against the grain. You'll beat yourself to death. But until you leave Troas and go to Macedonia, you will always continue to suffer beyond what you were to suffer. Going against the grain. How can we be resistant? Know that Jesus dwells within your soul as a believer. And no one can ever take that away from you. Resist the evil. Thirdly, to be persistent. It said all the jailers heard what was going on. All of them. I believe in my heart that we need to make a stand. We need to stop. I know there's different cultures, different religions, different denominations. I understand that. But we need to stop walking on eggshells. We need to stop walking around and being so careful. I love it how the Hebrew children told King Nebuchadnezzar, "I will not be careful in answering you. I will not bow down before this false God." We don't need to be careful. We need to understand that we've been set free, that we're more than conquerors, that we're going to live forever as believers in Christ. He's already overcome this world. Greater is He that's in me that's in this world. And we need to stop walking around carefully and worried about hurting somebody's feelings. And we need to speak the truth, live the truth, and always know that God will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There's a time. And it's that. It's that. Lastly, the result that you get from these characteristics in your life. Look at verse 26 with me. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. And suddenly. Don't you? Hey, I can't help it that I get the bubbling all up and my cups start running over. But hey, he lives. And he lives inside of me. Glory be to God in the highest. They went to singing and praying. Now watch this. If you're wondering today why you're not getting a lot of results, Paul and them wasn't doing this. Watch me from a profile. Watch this. Let me tell you what happened. No, he didn't. And just going right on. Watch this now. Well, I'm just not going down there tonight.
I know. He shouldn't have said what he said. Now, what kind of attitude is that? I know I'm being. There's a lot of drama going on right now. But I want you to feel what's in my soul. You can do it, but it ain't right. I'm going to let you go, but it ain't right. I'm not going to beg you to stay because my Savior wasn't a beggar. And if you're waiting on me to beg or come bring you a pity party, you're waiting on the wrong one. I think you just need to grow up, get off the milk, and get on the meat. And then we can all move forward. Amen? Come on. Don't let this message go in vain. I'm setting myself up for a vote of confidence. Don't you let this thing go in. Hey! I'm putting it all out there. Don't you just say, this is a good time in the Lord. This is a good time. I'm going to change myself in the Lord. I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to be resistant. I'm going to be persistent. In order that in verse 26, we have deliverance. Hey, there was an earthquake. Do you know what deliverance spells backwards? Freedom! Or it does in my dictionary, Max Dictionary, I'll tell you one. I'm telling you right now, we're free. Hey, we can holler it from the rooftop. I can stand on top of your car when we get out there, if you're insured, and I'll jump up and down and I'll tell you, freedom! We're free! Live like it! Walk like it! Talk like it! And be scared tiptoeing around here, kind of, oh, I'm scared who I'm going to offend. Call up His name! Claim it! And stop walking around with that profile shop. It's time to roll this up. It's time to get happy. Turn the frown upside down. And know that He is not in the tomb anymore. And we live just like He's dead. But He'll give you deliverance in your life. There'll be some earthquaking going on because there's some foundations that need to be moved just a little. So we need to work from the ground back up and get started. Because if we add on top of what you got in your life right now, the mess you got, it's going to tumble. We need to start from the ground up, get a foundation, know we've been delivered. And know, my dear friend, that it's time the shackles and the stocks come loose off your life. Amen? And it's time we start walking like it, living like it, and that we're able to go out, not only to bring value to ourselves, but bring value to His name and give value to others. How can we do that? Guess what happened? Verse 26, it said that everybody's chains come loose. Wait a minute. It was just Paul and Silas. But the Bible says in verse 26 that everybody's chains come loose. You know what that means? It means one thing, and this is what we're fitting to close already. He doesn't just offer deliverance to one or two, but He offers deliverance to everybody. There were some people in that jail that deserved to be there, amen? But He said, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've done, you call upon My name, I'll shake your foundation in a manner in which you've never seen before. And I'll give you deliverance unto your soul. And I'll set you free. And there's some of us, listen, you know exactly who I'm talking to. You need a jail cell to swing wide open. And you need to get to stepping. It's time for you to move from Troas to Macedonia. And there's one in everybody's life. Will you stand with me? Every head's bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask right now, just in confidence, if you're here today and God has spoke to your heart, will you just lift your hands straight up? I'm not going to embarrass you. Amen. Amen. Hands all over the building. Nobody's looking around. You can put them down. Anybody else? All right, here's what we're going to do today. Here's what we're going to do today. Every head is bowed and eyes are closed right now. Guess what you just did? You've acknowledged that God has been dealing with your soul. You know what that means? That means He's alive and well. That means He's here. He's present. And He wants to help you. It does not mean that you're a bad, evil person. It doesn't mean you're lost and on your way to hell. It just means that you are a believer who needs God's guidance. And there's some areas in your life, and even so as I as a preacher, we need some deliverance in some areas of our life. And today you want to pray that God will give you consistency, He'll give you resistance, and He will give you persistency in your life so that in order you'll be delivered. So this is what we're going to do. The music's just going to begin to play. Every head's bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. I want you to step out from where you are, and I just want you to come kneel and all. Well, anyone who raised their hand, just come. Many are making a move. Nobody's looking around. God spoke. This is about God today. This is God dealing with souls. And He's ready to give you deliverance. He's ready to hear the shackles fall down upon the ground and say, "My child, I'll set you free." You've come to pray. I want you to know that right now, where you kneel, you can ask God to forgive you of your sins. Call upon His name. Profess Him with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead. Knowing that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You give it to Him. Don't you kneel upon an altar. But you kneel upon an altar knowing that you're going to let go of what it is you've been holding on to. And know today that we have a God Almighty that can set you free. Don't you leave this altar today without leaving it with Him. He's not a dumb. But union together.